I'm Dan Rodericks, and this is Midday. It has been nearly 4 years since Yardley Love, a Notre Dame prep graduate and student athlete at the University of Virginia, was murdered by her ex-boyfriend. Since then, Yardley Love's mother, Sharon, has been on a mission to save teenagers and young women from violence. She joins us today to talk about her foundation and its mission, to give date violence a larger presence on the national radar. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention say nearly 3 in 10 women have experienced rape or some other form of physical violence by an intimate partner. Coming up, the warning signs and the way out, recognizing and avoiding the relationships that put young women at risk. First, the news. Good afternoon once again, everyone, and welcome back to Midday here on WYPR. Dan Rodericks with you. Thanks again for making Midday part of your day. It can start with teasing and name-calling, and then those jokes, often viewed as a normal part of a relationship, can morph into something more pernicious. Emotional abuse can turn into physical abuse, and that abuse can have devastating lifelong effects. We're talking this hour about dating violence, especially among teenagers and young adults. According to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, nearly 3 in 10 women have experienced rape or some other form of physical violence or stalking by an intimate partner. Additionally, the CDC says about 1 in 5 women who ever experience those traumas first experience some form of partner violence before the age of 17. One of my guests this hour, Sharon Love, has experienced the consequences of dating violence firsthand. In May of 2010, just weeks before she was to graduate from the University of Virginia, Sharon Love's daughter, Yardley Love, was attacked and killed in her off-campus apartment by her ex-boyfriend. The ex-boyfriend has since been convicted of second-degree murder and sentenced to 23 years in prison. Since then, Sharon Love has made it her mission to raise awareness about dating violence in her daughter's name. She's co-founded the One Love Foundation, a nonprofit that's working to end relationship violence through education and technology that we'll hear about today. And this is the first time here at Midday we've had a chance to speak to Sharon Love since all of this happened, so we welcome her as our first guest on the show today. Nice to meet you, Sharon.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
You've been doing a lot of public speaking. I noticed you were on a panel just last week in New York City talking about this. I wondered if you just talk a little bit about the decision to be public about this issue after Yardley's death, now going on 4 years almost, the decision to do that, and what had that's been like for you?
Originally, when this first happened, our main goal was to support inner-city lacrosse teams, and that was our main goal with the One Love Foundation. And the relationship violence kept coming to us and coming back to us, and we actually had 2 years to think about it because the trial didn't occur until 2 years after May 3rd, 2010. And by then, that gave us enough time to digest the topic and think it really was our responsibility to do something about it.
Because Yardley played lacrosse, originally you thought, well, we'll raise money and try to promote lacrosse in the inner city in Baltimore.
Yes, and we thought those lacrosse players would be our emissaries that would go out and promote good behavior and represent the One Love Foundation. Mm-hmm. But we do have a team right now, but our main thrust now is relationship violence through the One Love Foundation.
And it came to you, people said to you and encouraged you to speak out about it?
Yes, so many people came to us and asked, you know, if we were going to start with our foundation, if we were going to address relationship violence. And really, in the very beginning, it was just too shocking, and we almost couldn't accept the fact that Yardley was killed through relationship violence. And so it just took, really, the 2 year period was the exact right time. And by the end of that 2 year period, we had accepted the facts and decided to get moving and do something about it.
And how do you like doing that? Because it's a constant reminder about what you've been through, right? So I just wondered, like, speaking in New York City last week, for instance, at a panel discussion, it got a fair amount of press attention. I just wonder, what is that like for you personally, getting used to it?
It's a catch-22. I'm thrilled because we've had so much positive response, and we've had so many letters come into the foundation from people that have been honestly helped and have gotten out of bad situations. So we're thrilled to hear that news. The downside is I'm constantly reminded of Yardley and in a negative way. But that's the sacrifice you have to make, and I think it's well worth the sacrifice.
I read in an interview that you gave to someone along the way here, because others have interviewed you in these last couple of years, that the threat of violence to Yardley was not on your radar?
Not at all.
Because we need to talk about that.
When Yardley went off to college, when both of my girls went off to college, my main concern, the biggest fear I had would be that they might get in a car accident coming to and from school. The second thing I worried about with Yardley was she would tear her ACL or break her nose, something on the lacrosse field. The relationship violence didn't even cross my mind ever. It was just, we never talked about it at home. We never slapped any of our children. We never slapped our dog. It just wasn't even there. It wasn't anything that we would think about.
Did she have boyfriends in high school? And obviously she had boyfriend in college, but what about in high school? She had dated boys?
She went out with boys in high school, but they have a curfew in by 12. You're aware of all of the comings and goings. We know all of her friends in high school, and it's just more of a controlled situation. Once they're in college, they're on their own.
Yeah, they're on their own, and I guess you trust that their judgment is sound by then, right?
Yes.
That they're going to make a good choice of a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or the other way around, whatever it is, right?
I did trust her judgment, and I think she was just a bit naive. I think we all were naive. I was naive. We were all naive. Her roommates were naive. We just didn't think anybody was capable of doing what they did to her.
And you since have found out that things were going on, right? That she either wasn't reporting to you, or that you just didn't think was serious, or what?
There wasn't anything. There was one incident when he grabbed her at a party, and that was the only incident. And I thought, I didn't think he didn't harm her. That was it. And she wasn't seeing him anymore. She was graduating in 3 weeks. He was going to California. She was going to New York. I just thought, I can't wait for graduation. Had I known, if I had any inkling that he was capable of what he was capable of, I think I would have taken her out of school and let her go back the next year to finish off the semester, or I would have gone and sat there with her and stayed.
But it seems completely unpredictable then.
To me, it was, but now with the app that Hopkins has developed and the warning signs, it would have made me much more aware that some of these signs were being exhibited, and to be on the my radar would have gone off.
We're going to talk about the One Love, this new app that was developed through your foundation, right?
Yes.
That provides,
yes,
especially for, what, teens, young women, anyone in their early 20s, information, the warning signs that you were just talking about.
Yes.
To see whether you're at risk or not.
We address 16. Our main goal was 16 to 24-year-olds, but really anybody can take this app. And I think anybody should. It's free. It's on our website, joinonelove.org, and it's also on any smartphone. And it's a free download. It's anonymous. And whether you're dating or not dating, you should read these questions, because if you start dating, And some of these things, a bell might go off when some of these things start happening, and you'll get out before you get in. Once you're in, it's a lot harder to get out again.
Yardley had made a decision. She ended this relationship.
Yes.
And as you say, she was getting closer to graduation. It was coming to the end of lacrosse season. She was doing her thing. She was pulling away from this young man.
Yes, and I didn't realize that's really the most dangerous time, is once you break away. I didn't know that.
So you've learned a lot of things about date violence, relationship violence. It's called many different things. Intimate partner violence.
Yes.
Yeah. I was looking at numbers, and later in the hour we're going to talk about exactly what the numbers indicate in terms of the amount of times it occurs in the United States that we know of. It seems to me like you're bringing this to our attention. Of course, you're bringing this to our attention because of what happened to your daughter, obviously. But that we're talking about something that's been around for a long time.
Yes.
That we haven't talked about it in this way before.
Exactly.
We've talked about domestic violence, but not this so much.
Right. I think the topic in general really has been swept under the rug. People think it's a personal issue that they don't or shouldn't get involved in somebody's personal life, but that it's quite the opposite. Everybody needs to be aware that it's there and to stand up and do something about it. I think if you knew that your child was going to college and one out of three of those people going off to college would get in a terrible car accident, there would be such an outcry and such an alarm. Everyone would be doing something to stop that. But when you think one in three are going to go off to college and experience some type of relationship violence, it just doesn't seem to ring a bell. I think most people think, not my child.
You know, this raises that question. When they're off at college, they're 19, 20, 21 years old, they're pulling away from you a bit, even though you're still paying the bills, right, while they're at college. The question comes up, well, who are you dating? Who is this boy or who is this girl you're seeing now? How far do you think parents should go with that?
I don't think the child's away at college. You can't be there every moment. I did have the opportunity to meet George Hughley, and even after meeting him, I thought he was immature, but I never, ever thought he was violent. I'm not sure. I think it really the bystanders that see them every day on campus and the coaches, I think they need to step up and be responsible and do something.
So what you're saying is you can't be there, meaning parents. We can't be there. We can ask questions maybe a little, but we can only know so much because we're not there every day. But with the app, this app that's been developed that we'll hear more about in a moment, this young person, your daughter, your son, can be empowered to know more about what the warning signs might be. Is that it?
Right. It can be the friends of the abuser can go on and realize this guy has a problem and try to do something about it. It can be the friends of the victim. Anybody can take this app, and I think everybody should take the app, whether they're in a dating situation or not, just to know what the signs are.
Sharon, we're going to take our first break here in the show. There's just a couple during the hour. We'll talk some more in a moment, okay?
Thank you.
Sharon Love joining us from One Love Foundation, Yardley Love's mom. In a moment, we'll be joined by Nancy Glass, Associate Director of the Johns Hopkins Center for Global Health. Nancy is an expert on relationship violence and worked with the One Love Foundation to develop that app that we've been talking about here. And a little bit later on, we'll speak with Brian Pinheiro, who is co-director of the National Dating Abuse Helpline. If you'd like to join our conversation, if you have questions about it, experiences you want to share during this hour of the show, our local phone number, 410-662-8780, toll-free long distance, 866-661-9309, the Midday email address, midday@wypr.org. And welcome back to Midday. Dan Rodericks here. We're talking this hour about dating violence, intimate partner violence. Joining me in the studio for this discussion is Sharon Love, co-founder of the One Love Foundation and mother of Yardley Love, who died at the hands of her ex-boyfriend just a few weeks before she was to graduate from the University of Virginia. That was in May 2010. Also joining us now is relationship violence expert Nancy Glass, professor at the Johns Hopkins School of Nursing. She's also associate director for the Johns Hopkins Center for Global Health, and she's worked extensively with the One Love Foundation on developing the app that we were referring to just before the break there. Nancy Glass, nice to have you on the show with us.
It's nice to be here. Thank you.
How did you develop this specialty and this interest in this area?
Well, I trained as a nurse and was working in clinical settings and would often see women, young girls and women coming into the emergency department or other settings experiencing violence. And I recognized that in my training, I had had very little information about how to provide assistance. So I started working with experts at Johns Hopkins, Dr. Jackie Campbell, and learning more about the issue and getting out in the community, working with the House of Ruth in our local area, and really found that much needed to be done to provide services.
We've been listening to Sharon Love's story again, Yardley Love's story. You're very familiar with it.
Yes.
And I wonder what your comments are for everyone else listening out here, parents, kids, everybody, when it comes to this, the lessons drawn from the Yardley Love story.
Well, we're very fortunate to have Sharon Love and the One Love Foundation in our community. And Sharon's courage to really take this issue on after losing her daughter. So some key things that Sharon said, and I think for parents to understand, is that we often don't expect our children to have these experiences or our friends to have these experiences because so often they're not talked about. But it's very common. You know, 1 in 3 women globally experience physical or sexual violence at the hands of a partner or ex-partner in their lifetime. And it usually starts at a young age. So we need to empower young women and parents to talk about this and learn about the resources in their community. I think also people see signs. They see controlling behavior. For example, wanting to know where you're going all the time, wanting to know who your friends are, controlling what you wear, controlling who you spend time with, demanding sex. I mean, physical violence. So there's a lot of different types of violence. It can be psychological violence where you insult your partner. So it's friends seeing that behavior. It's family members seeing that behavior and asking questions and knowing that that's not healthy.
Well, I wanted to ask about that because you heard me ask Sharon about the parents' role, especially when your child is away at college, has a new life, has a job someplace, is in their, I don't know, early 20s or so, and you're not there every day. But I don't know. What do you pick up on the phone? What can you do? I mean, if you sense something's wrong, how do you know how to even do that?
Right. And that's one thing that the One Love My Plan app, and that's what we're talking
that's
about.
That's what's called One Love My
Plan application My Plan app.
Mm-hmm.
It's free through Google's Android or free through iTunes to download through the One Love Foundation. And it's really about providing for the woman who's concerned about what she's experienced in her relationship, may not be ready to call it abuse, but knows that something doesn't feel right. And then it's also for friends or family, and even family members, to, if they're seeing behavior that they're not comfortable with, it gives them a script to talk with their friend. For example, saying, you know, I saw him push you the other day, and, you know, I'm really concerned for your safety. Can I be helpful? And this is hard to say. Friends have a hard time saying this because they're not sure if they should get involved. They're not sure if it's any of their business. They're also, maybe that other person is their friend as well. And we have a lot of myths about domestic violence and intimate partner violence, that jealousy equals love, that he's texting you 20 times a day because he cares for you, that it's not that bad, at least he's not hitting you. And you know, partners say to you, well, if you really love me, you'd have sex with me. There's a lot of ways that we tell our partners and control their behavior without really recognizing that. Mm-hmm. And so these myths help you. You go through a set of myths about relationship and what are healthy relationships. And it asks you those questions, and it gives you a chance for you to anonymously, confidentially think about your relationship. And what I really like about this app is that we talk about the myths of relationships, what is a healthy relationship, and then we ask the user to think about their own relationship and the risk factors in their own relationship. And that can be, has the violence increased in severity and frequency over the past year? Is he using alcohol or drugs? Is he forcing you to have sex? And as Sharon said, have you ended the relationship? Ending the relationship can be the most dangerous time for young women and any woman, because that partner may be feeling like they're losing control. And so what you heard Sharon say is she thought George was going to California. Yardley was going to New York.
They were going their separate ways.
They're going their separate ways. That's the best case, right? He felt like he was losing control, and he wanted his control back. And so this app is not about leaving a relationship. It's about how do you stay safe in your relationship? Because as Sharon said, leaving's not always the safest thing. You may need to take some steps to find support to leave. And so that's what we want to give to young women.
Nancy, when you go to the app, I know we can't show it on the air, it's radio, but it gives you warning signs, it asks you questions. Just simply, how is it done?
So the really nice thing about it, when you download it, you put in your personal security code. So you create a code. So if your partner's controlling, they may also want to see what you're downloading. So make sure you put in your code and you don't give that code out. And then you can, the first screen is really talking about what is relationship violence? What is dating violence? Because a lot of people aren't quite sure. And then it gives you some example of myths, things that you might have heard about from your friends, or you're saying to yourself, it's not that bad. Jealousy, maybe he loves you. So it gives you some myths about, and then it asks you to assess your own relationship. What are your experiences in your own relationship? And then we ask you, tell us your priorities for safety. That means, do you want to keep this private? Are you concerned about your academic success? Are you concerned about your safety? And based on those priorities, we give you a personalized safety plan. The app gives you a personalized safety plan. And what's so nice about this, and what's so important about what the One Love Foundation has done, is this app draws off of 20 years of a research experience by people from all over the country who are the experts in this field. So we put together in one place, you know, really evidence-based information to feed back on safety planning for young women, so that they are giving strategies linked to national and local resources. And what's really nice, and you'll be talking to Love is Respect, we have an instant connection to a chat where they can chat with a domestic violence advocate, dating violence advocate, who's an expert. They don't have to give their name. They don't have to, but they can ask questions because they may now have concerns about their relationships and they need to know more. So what the app does is doesn't replace going to talk with somebody that's safe on campus, a counselor, a healthcare provider, an advocate, but it does help direct young women who may not know about those resources to those experts.
I want to ask you a question about the research that you referred to. I'm curious about something. You said, what is dating violence? Don't you know it when you see it? As a question, but follow up another question. Mm-hmm. Are there some young women, some young men maybe, who don't know it when they see it, who think, well, this is what I grew up with? I heard, Sharon, you said a moment ago Yardley didn't grow up with that. Your household didn't have violence in it. You didn't have slapping. I don't know if you've had spanking. Some households, you know, we don't spank our kids. We don't use physical force at any point, physical trauma on a child. So if you don't grow up with that, right away you're going to recognize, right, when you're being abused, because this isn't something that was done in your life. But I wonder if you grow up with some form of violence, even if it's, you know, severe spanking or something, that you think, well, that's at some level it's acceptable. I want to hear from you. What does the research say about that?
Well, you know, it's very interesting because what we do know from the research is, yes, young people that are exposed to violence in their childhood or in their home, either witnessing it or being physically or sexually abused, may be at greater risk of perpetrating or experiencing violence in their adult lives. However, what we also know is that as a young person, you're off to college, it may be the first time, as Sharon was saying, that you're developing relationships where your parents don't know the youth. You're trying new things, you're experimenting with life, you're meeting different people. And so what we often say to young women is, you know, this is normal. This is how relationships are. You know, even though you may not have seen that in your parents' relationship or your other friends, people that are abusive, partners that are abusive, are very good at manipulating the situation and saying, telling you that their behavior is normal. And if you would just do what I ask, I wouldn't have to push you. I wouldn't have to slap you. And so, unfortunately, we're not always giving people young women messages that dating violence is and what it is and what it looks like. And it's not just physical violence, it's not just sexual violence, but it's controlling behavior. It's a pattern of coercive control, meaning controlling who you spend time with, etc.
A young woman is more likely to experience intimate partner violence than she is random violence on a city street or a county street, any place, right?
Absolutely.
Women it's someone are, she knows, right?
Women are most at risk from an intimate partner or ex-partner.
What did you learn about that, Sharon? I'll go back to this comment about growing up without an atmosphere of violence. And then based on what Nancy was just saying, I was thinking, well, maybe a young woman comes to learn that a little bit of anger goes along with love, you know, that you're bound to have quarrels, lovers' quarrels, and see them as that and not see them as a warning sign toward abuse.
I think by not experiencing it, there were no spankings, there was nothing. There were go to your room.
Yeah, right,
and
time
sometimes
out.
Sometimes there wasn't even that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, usually we'd solve it just with words. And so I think that made Yardley naive to, I think she didn't know what to do or how to, she didn't understand it and she didn't know what to do about it.
Hmm.
There was, since there was never any physical fighting or arguing between anyone in our family, they were carried around on their father's shoulder like little princesses till he couldn't. Till they were too big to do that. So she just was so far out of her league and did not understand anything about it.
The point I was getting at is, and Nancy, I think you answered it, is that it would have been so jarring to someone who didn't grow up with that and hadn't experienced it before. Then suddenly, you know, you're 22 years old and you're in a relationship and, whoa, where did that come from?
It's certainly very jarring,
yeah,
to all the women who experience it. Certainly when you... As Yardley hadn't experienced, you know, she grew up in a supportive, loving home. Many young women who grew up in homes where there's violence, they'll say to themselves, this will never happen to me. And, you know, what we hear from women over and over is they care deeply for their partner. They want this to have a relationship, but they want the violence to end. And so that's what we're trying to help them.
Moms have conversations with their daughters about sex, about growing up, about taking on life, about going away from home, about boys and all that stuff. They don't talk about this? They don't? I mean, in your experience, have you met women who said, yeah, I had that talk with my daughter?
I know. I don't know anybody. Mm. I don't know anybody that... I think it's just off of everyone's radar. And if it isn't off your radar, if you've been a victim of that, you probably... want to hide it because mm-hmm. you're ashamed of that. And mm-hmm. it needs to be brought out in the open for the world to see. And attitudes are never going to change until it's in the wide open space.
Well, what about the parents? I'll go back to the parents again here. You have an app for young women and young men. Anybody can use this app. But what about the parents? What should they say or be thinking about this?
Well,
should they have the talk?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think, you know, I have a niece going off to college next year, and we've already started to have these conversations, and probably that's because this is what I do for my life's work.
Mm-hmm.
But my mother didn't have this conversation with me, and so I think it is changing. I think that we are with the advocacy of organizations like the One Love Foundation and technology that reach young people in a different way than we've often done. We've often done lectures, which we know are not that effective. But this gives them the power to use it when they're ready to look at it confidentially. As one young woman told me, it doesn't judge me. So we need as parents, as adults, to listen and not, you know, respond negatively to young women who are experiencing violence, and help them think of, and not just tell them, just leave. Again, that can be a very dangerous time. So leaving is a process. That is taking time and planning safely leaving.
Just leave, but have a plan.
Have a plan.
Have a backup, have some support.
So if you're going to leave the relationship, you don't go and say to break up to that person in person and leave them. You plan, a safe place to stay, and then you maybe call them and tell them.
Nancy Glass, I've been on the college campus a couple of times in the last, 5 to 6 years, and I've observed young men, organizations of young men, putting out the word against violence on campus, violence on dates. Young men being proactive in these groups. I forget what they're called exactly, but mm-hmm. there seems to be some a fair amount of consciousness raising, at least in the 3 or 4 college campuses I've been on that I can speak of. Maybe that's not going on in every place. What is your observation about that in terms of the college campus?
I think you're absolutely right.
That is going on. That is more frequent.
Absolutely. I think the good news is the most young men are not violent in relationships. Still, in our country, most men are not. And we need those young men to speak up and hold their friends accountable, because it's around changing norms. It's around changing your behavior. If you know your friend won't accept seeing you push your girlfriend or call her names in front of you, that you hold him accountable for that behavior, that will stop.
Sharon, I want to go back to you, Sharon. Your thoughts about things here in the last few years, conversations you've had with other women, with other moms. I mean, what's come to you in the last 2 or 3 years in terms of other people walking up to you and telling their stories to you?
Recently I was at a women's lacrosse game, and the parents of one of the girls that was playing came up to me and said that because of the One Love Foundation, their daughter found the courage to get away from an extremely abusive boyfriend, and they thought that they would lose her in the same way that I lost Yardley. And they were in tears, actually, and it was just so rewarding. And not only rewarding to talk to them, but you could look out on the field and see the girl out there running and playing lacrosse.
Right.
It was
She was 17?
She was 19.
19. Did you talk to the parents about that breakaway period, you know, that getting away period when the danger heightens? Had they been through that?
Well, some time had passed since she had gotten away. So their story to me was more because of the One Love Foundation, our daughter's safe now.
Mm-hmm. So who are you hearing from at the One Love Foundation? I'm just curious. It's not a hotline. Right?
No.
We're going to speak to someone who runs a hotline in a moment. But, you're hearing from people who just say, yeah, I'm glad you're doing this. We need to increase awareness. Or are you hearing from people who say, I've been through this. I'm glad you're doing this.
We get both. And we get some letters are extremely personal and detailed. It's almost you feel like you almost shouldn't be privy to that information. But we've gotten so many letters just from people that have successfully gotten away and are so grateful.
I want to ask you one more question before our break, Nancy Glass from Johns Hopkins School of Nursing, about psychological trauma. We said at the outset of the show that, you know, the effects or consequences from relationship violence can be long lasting. My intuition says, yes, trust is broken down. It's hard to rebuild in the future for someone who's been through something like this. Is that a prime problem for people who experience this kind of trauma?
Yes, certainly. Many there's both short-term and long-term consequences of experiencing dating violence. And certainly not every woman who's abused will have these experiences. But certainly there's physical injury and chronic health issues. Unintended pregnancies and sexually transmitted infections, but also depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, symptoms that are consistent with traumatic events of physical and sexual violence. But also young women can be at risk for suicide, and certainly having it impacts their esteem, their self-image, and can place them at risk for future violence.
I jumped way ahead of you to the next relationship. You know, is this going to have an effect on somebody down the road in terms of building new relationships and trust?
It certainly could. It certainly could. Many women go on to have very healthy relationships because they've gotten support from family members. They've gotten support from community to know that it wasn't their fault. But women who don't, unfortunately, have those resources and keep and don't feel safe telling can be at risk for future violence in a relationship.
Nancy Glass, associate professor at the Johns Hopkins School of Nursing and an expert in relationship violence, joining us today with Sharon Love, co-founder of the One Love Foundation and mother of Yardley Love. We'll take another break here on Midday. And when we get back, we'll be speaking with Brian Pinheiro, director of Love is Respect, the program that Nancy mentioned before, a program of the National Domestic Violence Hotline. He'll be joining us in just a moment here on Midday. And welcome back to Midday. Dan Rodericks here with Sharon Love and Nancy Glass from Johns Hopkins. Sharon Love with the One Love Foundation now. And you mentioned the app before. Nancy, it's available. You said Google, Android, and
iTunes.
So just go there. You can find. And it's called again.
The One Love My Plan.
One Love My Plan
app, and you could also go to the One Love Foundation website.
JoinOneLove.org.
JoinOneLove.org. And you can find the app there.
Right. Yes.
Here's a comment by email from one of our listeners, Michelle. I'll read it. If you want to comment, feel free. Michelle says that growing up in an environment that doesn't include violence may, on one hand, make you more aware that something is wrong when you encounter someone who is abusive. On the other hand, no exposure, no talk, may also leave you ill-equipped to know how to handle such situations when they arrive. Education in high schools and on college campuses is key, just as there is a concerted effort to educate students on alcohol and drug abuse and to punish students that misuse. The same educational effort should be made for emotional and physical abuse on campuses. Thank you, Michelle. I mean, we mentioned that some of that is going on college campuses. What about at the high school level? Are we aware of any?
There has been some innovative work, and certainly One Love is focusing at the high school level. But I would say even earlier, middle school. We need to start talking to young people about what is a healthy relationship. And Futures Without Violence, which is a national organization, has an innovative program called Coaching Boys to Men. And there's some other educational primary prevention efforts in the middle schools, the high schools. There's some interesting work that's been done at the University of North Carolina around dating violence in middle school and high school. And I agree. I think we have to start. As Sharon was saying, that, you know, it certainly could be the case with not experiencing or seeing violence or being exposed to that maybe that young women just and men aren't prepared yet for what they're experiencing.
Sharon, do you ever feel like that our culture is just so drenched in violence we just sort of have to be really prepared for this? I'm not saying we're doomed. I don't want to be that cynical or pessimistic about it. But there's so much violence around, either, you know, in the media or just in people's lives. It's sort of almost ingrained.
I think it's an awareness issue. Mostly just as Mothers Against Drunk Drivers turn that whole situation around, we're hoping that the One Love Foundation can through awareness and technology, that we can turn this situation around. Where awareness and people just stop putting up with it. Say it's not acceptable. It's wrong, and do something about it. I know there's TV violence and
a lot.
But interpersonal relationship violence is not Hollywood. It's real.
So. Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Sharon. Nancy Glass is also with us in Studio A, director of the Johns Hopkins Center for Global Health and expert in relationship violence. We turn now to Brian Pinheiro, who is director of Love is Respect, which is a program of the National Domestic Violence Hotline. Love is Respect provides free around-the-clock information to teens and young adults about what healthy relationships are, and to help them identify unhealthy relationships and to get some help. So, Brian, thank you for joining us here on Midday on WYPR.
Thanks for letting me be here to talk.
Yeah, I was curious. I wanted to hear from you on the hotline end of things to get some insight as to what you hear on that end, what your folks hear on that end in terms of dating violence, especially from teenage girls and young women, what they report, what do they talk about?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, just to tell a little bit about our services, we have three 24-hour services. One is phone, which is a traditional call center, and then we also have chat and text messaging. And, you know, digitally, the reason why we went with that is that we knew young people, you know, had a lot to say just from our experience with the National Domestic Violence Hotline, and that when they would call, we'd always hear that there were things that they were dealing with that were just as bad as what anybody in an adult marriage were dealing with when around domestic violence. You know, some of the things that we hear is that, you know, young women are talking about the issues, whether it's, you know, being pressed into having sex when they're not wanting to, being forced to do things that they don't want to in sex, but also just the violence that they're experiencing. And a lot of times they don't know exactly what to call it. Sometimes they call it drama. Sometimes they call it as something doesn't feel right. And when they ditch, they are able to kind of throw things over that invisible wall and ask questions. What we actually find out is that they don't have the language, and they don't actually know what's going on in their relationships. And so then when we hear, like, hey, sometimes he pushes me against the locker, well, we're able to tell them that's actually an abusive relationship. So a lot of times a lot of the young people we talk to do call us about, you know, unhealthy relationships, but they're also calling because they don't have language, and they don't know the definitions of a lot of what abuse looks like.
The fact that they call is a good sign, obviously, but the fact that they call means they are getting some help on the ground there somewhere. They found your phone number. They found a way to contact you through social media.
Yeah, I think through our efforts through social media, I think we've put a lot of work into making our website full of content that are actually ways to kind of hook people, whether they're on those periphery networks on social media, you know, pop cultural references. I think, as usual, like everybody, Chris Brown and Rihanna was a very big topic for a very long time, which was gave people context to actually talk about relationships. So it has been successful that way, and I think, you know, people are more aware of our services. And I think the fact that it's a confidential one-on-one communication with the peer advocate is also very attractive for why they want to contact
us. And Brian, what's the range of age, and is it more girls and young women than it is men?
Yeah, our age groups that we focus on are 13 to 24, and young women are our highest users. I think that, you know, young men do contact us. It is at a lower level, and some young men contact us, and they are clearly, you know, are the abusive partner in the relationship. But I will also say that this is a very difficult subject for men to discuss, much less young men, to say, like, hey, something doesn't feel right in my relationship, and to reach out. But I do know that, you know, having the chat, having the text, we do sometimes see more young men reach out that way than we actually do over the phone.
You know, last week we had news reports about a very popular football player from Baltimore, the Baltimore Ravens, Ray Rice. He and his fiance arrested in an incident that involved fisticuffs, apparently, in a casino in New Jersey, and a video of Ray Rice, you know, dragging his unconscious fiance out of an elevator onto a floor. And I wonder how many people look at that, and Nancy, I'll ask you about it, look at that and say, well, you know, that's the kind of stuff that goes on between men and women. You know, they're both to blame, and I don't want to get in the middle of that. So that's sort of like our attitude about a lot of this, isn't it? I'm not saying it's the correct attitude, but I'm saying is that's relationship. Those people are having a lover's quarrel or something. You better stay out of that.
Yeah, I think that is actually
one of the other things that we hear a lot from is just that bystander. Like, well, what can I do? And what reasonably can I do to help? And a lot of times it's just people. I think when we talk to young people, I think young people want to do something. They just don't know what they can. So a lot of times it's, you know, it can be as simple as, like, just keeping a journal of when you notice things are happening, talking to another adult. I think that incident, what it does show is it's a great discussion point to say, like, if something is happening in front of me, what will I do? You know, we tell young people that, you know, you can have, in this day and age where we have cell phones, where they have the ability to have video, you don't always have to jump in the middle of it, but maybe you can record it. You know, so ask someone to stand there and tell someone to call the police. So a lot of times it's talking about as a bystander. You don't have to jump in the middle, but you can stand there and let someone know that it's not okay,
mm-hmm.
contact the authorities. And I think that that's the one thing that the incident does raise is that, you know, as a bystander, what will you do and what can you do?
Actually, somebody did do that in Atlantic City. Nancy, what did you want to say about that?
Yeah, I agree. I think that it's an opportunity to, and one reason why with the One Love app, we added a friends component to this is because so many young people were telling us, you know, my first choice is to go talk with a friend. And then the friends were saying, we want to be helpful, but we just don't know what to say, or we're afraid to get involved. And because they're both my friends, I don't want to take sides.
Excuse me. I understand that. There's a dilemma there. But really, if somebody is being abused, if somebody is being punched and hit and abused, one person is getting the worst of it, right? What's the difference between that and a stranger assaulting your friend? I don't see the difference anymore.
I think oftentimes these assaults aren't happening in front of the friends that you're talking
okay,
about.
Okay, well, let's say if you catch wind of it, if it's obvious to you, if your friend shows up with a black eye.
Right. Well, I think the first thing to do is to talk with the friend about what you can do to help. Going and confronting can be dangerous for you as well. So I think having a conversation, saying, can I go with you to the clinic? Can I go with you to talk with a safe person? Let me help you stay at my place. This will be safe. But confronting people that are in the middle of a fight, as Brian was saying, that can be dangerous for you as well.
Sharon, did you want to add to that?
I feel in some aspects the legal system is dropping the ball on this, I think, with rape and abuse. I think a lot of these, if you pursue that, go to court, a lot of times it's for naught. And that sends a message, too, that why bother?
Brian, I added a question for you about date violence stigma. Young girls, you said 13 to 24 years old, are calling you instead of, talking to their parents, talking to their moms about it, even talking to their friends about it. What's the stigma part of this?
Well, I think talking about relationships, period, are very difficult because I think especially when you're younger, especially when you're under the age of 18 and you're watching TV, I mean, just watching things like The Real World and watching things like The Jersey Shore, it's very confusing to see what behaviors are allowed and what things are healthy, because it's very difficult when that's kind of feeding you the language and the idea of what a healthy relationship is. I think the reason why a lot of young people don't reach out to their parents is the embarrassment factor. And frankly, one of the things that we talk to when parents contact us is you sometimes have to restrain yourself as a parent because the natural desire is to say, like, well, this ends now. I'm taking you out of the situation. And you wind up doing the exact same thing that the abusive person and the young person's relationship is doing, is you're controlling them. And so a lot of young people are afraid of that. I think they're afraid of the embarrassment factor. As a young woman, if I, to have to tell their father, like, hey, Dad, this is happening to me, and to have to hear, well, why did you let this happen? You were raised better than this. And sometimes the victim blaming is really a very powerful thing that young people really are afraid to go to an adult or a parent. But we also know, just looking at research, young people respond to talking to their friends and peers. So I think having this hotline and having our services that are run by peers allows them that ability to ask questions and not fear, like, I'll be made to feel guilty, either victim blaming.
Brian Pinheiro, Director of Love is Respect, a program of the National Domestic Violence Hotline. What is the hotline number, Brian?
I think the best way to contact us clearly is if you want to go to loveisrespect.org. You can go there. We have a 24/7 chat services that you can click on. You can immediately talk to anybody. The phone number is 1-866-331-9474.
866-331-9474. Brian Pinheiro, thank you for your time and your comments.
Thank you.
Nice to have you on the show with us. Nancy, some closing thoughts for friends of people who might be at risk, parents, your advice?
Right. I think trust your instincts. Try to find a private time to talk with your daughter or your friend that you're concerned. And first, just express that you're concerned about them and their safety and their well-being, and you want to help.
And once again, the app that's available at the One Love Foundation website. You can get it that way, or just off of iTunes or Google Android.
Exactly.
Right? Okay. What, again, are we looking for? I wrote it down. I can't find it now. Say it again.
The One Love My Plan app.
One Love My Plan app. Very simple. Sharon, so you'll be doing more public speaking?
I think so.
You're in demand. People still want you to talk about this, be on panels and things like that?
Yes, as we develop new technology, we've been asked to come speak about our new technology.
That's great. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show today to talk with us about this and tell us about the app especially. I hope we get the word out about that.
Thank you for having us today.
Thank you, Sharon Love and Nancy Glass. Thank you both for being here. Please enjoy lunch brought to us on Wednesdays by Breathe Bookstore Cafe, serving a vegetarian, inspired vegetarian, vegan, gluten-free savories over there in Hamden. Open 7 days a week. Thank you to Breathe Book Cafe for providing lunch for our guests.